Hello, everyone. This is Clarissa Bell, and thanks for joining me on my teleclass where we will be, I'll be discussing a topic on consciousness. And these topics are really designed to expand our awareness of who we really are and to help us to begin to then experience what our true nature is and the true nature of abundance that really is already here. And then I will be discussing the card system, cardology, an ancient system that really is a representation of our Earth calendar. And then I'll be doing free readings for those in the class who would like them and as time permits. But at first, what I like to do is always start off with a short prayer just to get us centered and grounded in the energy of love. So just closing your eyes and just becoming aware that you are breathing. You don't have to do anything to breathe, that there's something that is breathing you. And just tuning into that and just taking these words. We ask for support in consciousness and assisting us in awakening and opening our hearts and inspiring and empowering us to experience the truth about ourselves. We ask for support and feeling our connection with the essence of everyone and everything in the universe at all times so that we can truly know and feel we are one. And so it is. So be it. Just taking that in. Okay. All right. So today's topic is going to be on how we counter-create our essence. And in the last class, before I really get into this, I really want to state that there's really no way to know the absolute truth. There's just certain mysteries about the human experience that are so huge and so complex that they are really beyond our understanding at our present level of consciousness. The best that we can do then is just to create models and metaphors that are close enough to the truth that gives us practical benefit in living our lives here in this experience. So remember, this is all happening at a mystical level of our being, and we can't really understand it through our thinking. So just feel and trust your own deeper knowing that's within you as I discuss this. Your deeper knowing will lead you and guide you to what is really appropriate for you. Okay, so here is my take on how we counter-create our essence. And as I discussed last week, all that is God, the field, whatever name you want to term it, knew intellectually and conceptually that it was all there was. But that's only a thought. It's only a concept. It's not really an experience. It wasn't a being and a feeling. You know that feeling you have like when you eat a piece of juicy, delicious chocolate cake, you know, the experience. It's like, so it didn't have that. It knew it conceptually. So God, you could say, wanted to know itself more fully, the utter magnificence, the aliveness, the essence of itself, not just to think about it, but to be and to feel it. And so you could say the most magnificent experience of all time is the realization of our divine self, our true nature. But in order to have this realization, meaning in order to really experience it, we must first really have the experience of not being our divine self. And I talked about polarity, and I talked about how necessary it is in order to have the experience of ourselves that we have to create then a reality where there's polarity and relativity so we could have something to compare it to. So you could say we created a playing. In order to do this, we created a playing field, which is this environment that we're living in, and it's a created reality, a world of polarity and relativity. And then we have to set about convincing ourselves that this world is real. And so we also then have to, and since we can never really not be God, we just extend a part of ourselves. I'd say it's our human self, our avatar. Most people have seen that movie, Avatar, so you could think of it as if our human self is the avatar of our timeless, eternal God self, okay? And we're extending this part of ourselves, and we create this part of ourselves to be, in some ways, the polar opposite of who we really are. That is, we create this ourselves to be, our human selves to be other than powerful, not wise, and not loving, to be severely limited, restricted, vulnerable, fragile, poor, weak, powerless creature who gets tossed around by life, by people, by places, and by things. So it's really actually the timeless God self that's really using its incredible power and its incredible intelligence to hide all that awareness of itself from this aspect of our being, from this human self. So it's hiding who it really is and what its natural state is from this avatar, this human being, this us. And the way that we really do that is we counter-create negative identities and patterns. So I'm saying we're counter-creating, we're going against our natural essence of being powerful and being wise and being loving, and we're creating the polar opposite of this self to remember to have this experience of polarity, which is just a tool of creation. So we're hiding who we are, our power, our wisdom, our lovability, and we're creating this human self to be not wise, not powerful, not lovable. And we do this through creating negative identities of I am powerless, I am weak, I am stupid, I'm not worthy, I'm not enough. And the way we really start this is actually, well, I mean, if you think of it, it's a brilliant setup. This human body, these bodies that we have, right? First, we're going from the one to the many. There are all these bodies, they're different shapes, they're different sizes, it's seeming that we're different. First, we're going from the one to the many. We're, quote, creating a sense of separation. And then we come into this human body and get this. Now, I mean, I think most of us don't think about this, but if you think about this, you can kind of see how brilliant this is. Okay, so we're coming into a body where it's, when you were born, you're an infant. You're weak. You're completely helpless. You have no power, seemingly no intelligence and wisdom and no abundance, completely dependent on someone else. We can't walk. We can't talk. It's hard for us to express ourselves. And then when we do express ourselves, we usually express it in a negative way because that's all we are knowing, to cry or to yell. And so it's just a brilliant setup when you think about it. So right off the bat, coming in and no power, no wisdom, no seeming abundance, it's a brilliant, brilliant setup, and it's a cosmic joke. And actually, some say, well, it actually starts before we even are born, because some say, well, we're actually getting programmed in the womb. We're so connected to our mothers that we're actually taking on the programming through the genetics of actually both the parents, the mother and the father, and through the imprinting of the mother. We're feeling what she's feeling, and we're taking on a vibrational level just her sense of herself. And if she's going through a rough time, we can feel that. So it starts with coming into this human body. It's, you know, this creating seeming separation, and it's vibrationally tattooing and imprinting to us that we are not powerful, that we are not even the cause of this experience that we're having. So it begins with the early stages, from what I like to say 0 to 6, and we're just basically energetic. We're in a vibrational state, and we're being imprinted with things. If there are things going on in the home and in our environment, we don't have to know it because at this point we're not really able to process information, but we just take it in on a vibrational level. And this becomes apparent later on in life, these imprints that we've taken on. And also, to the concept of good and bad gets introduced. I mean, how many times have you seen, you know, either it or was said to you, or you called, that's bad, you're a bad girl, you're a bad boy, or good girl, or good boy. I mean, this concept of good and bad. And then even the concept of loss and death. I remember the first time I actually, someone died who was close to me, I just remember feeling so puzzled by the whole thing. It was, it was not something that I was even aware of or thought about. But again, it's going counter to what our eternal self is. It's we're mortal. We can quote seemingly die. We can lose something. So we're layering on all these ways in which we're not powerful, not wise, and we take these on a vibrational level from the early stages of our development. And then, you know, when we're 6 or 7, we begin to learn, go to school, and then that's a whole another set of programming and identities that get set in. We begin to learn to process and to think, and it's really the period of life from 7 to 14 where we begin to make up stories about ourselves. We begin to make meanings of our experiences, and where we really begin to adopt the identities, the programs, the beliefs of the tribe, of the society that we live in. And we do this mainly to stay safe. And also we form a lot of identities around our wisdom and about our lovability as we're going through school and we're being judged and graded. And if we're not as, quote, as smart as some of the other kids, I mean, what's some of the typical identities? I'm stupid. I'm not good enough. I'm not as good as. We compare ourselves to others. I'm weak. I can't do it. I am powerless. I cannot learn this. I'm powerless. And then we begin to make meanings about this. I'm not smart, so no one will love me. So I'm not lovable. I'm not smart, so I won't be able to fit in. I'm not smart, so I won't be able to make my way in the world. And these identities and the resulting meanings we make from the identities begin to really, create this sort of mass of energies that continually begins to sort of create a cloud cover that clouds our perception of who we really are. So systematically, from the time we're in the womb to the time we become teenagers, we're taking on these identities, whether or not we're adopting them from someone else, we are taking them on as our own. And when we're a baby, we're actually imprinting them. They're getting imprinted on our energy field. And so we're convincing ourselves that we are not who we really are. We're convincing ourselves that we're the opposite. We're counter-creating our essence so that we can actually be here in this realm. Can you imagine if we, in this created reality, which is really a created reality, and they say if you look at quantum physics, that this is really like a hologram. And in some ways you could say we're actually meditating this experience because we can't ever really not be who we are. We're just sort of in a holographic way or in a meditative way, we're actually creating a part of ourselves. We're creating this reality and creating a part of ourselves to actually play in this reality, to have the experience of being other, to have the experience of polarities, to have the experience of the full spectrum of the negative and the positive, to begin to experience all of ourselves. And so, as I was saying, so part of it is that we have to really convince ourselves that we really are this created being that's the opposite of who we are. If we didn't, we really wouldn't actually buy it. We wouldn't stay in this reality long enough to experience much of anything. If you knew you were powerful, all-knowing, nothing here would, you know, me. You just go, oh. You know, oh, well, no, that's not true. That's not real. You would not have the experience. And so part of it is, an important part of this is that that the bigger part finds a way, a brilliant way, to program and condition us to actually believe in this reality as real and to convince ourselves that we really are not powerful, not wise. And so if you think about all these ways of that you think about yourself, these identities, these ways that you – these determinations that we make about ourselves, and we can begin to actually see how it's been systematically programmed. And a lot of times we think that it's happening outside of ourselves. But what I really want to get across is that the eternal part of ourselves is really in charge here, and it really has a plan for how it's going to convince us or put ourselves into this trance of being a human being, asleep to its true nature. And when we begin to really see that it really is the bigger part of ourselves, our expanded being, the timeless, eternal part of us that really is in charge, that's the beginning of really beginning to get our power back. Because we can see it's not something that is happening outside of us. It's something that we're choosing to do in order to have this experience. And being able to know that we are the cause is actually the first step in being able to reclaim our power from these programs and these identities and these belief patterns as we begin to make our way and expand our way back into who we are to experience the beauty of who we are. But, you know, it's up to us when we decide we're going to do that, because within this created reality, within this sort of playground, there are all types of experiences that we're choosing to have, and that a lot of us we're having fun with it. On a really cosmic level, we're enjoying every aspect of this. Okay, so your schooling years, there's more identities that get formed. And you could say we're going from feeling, you know, first 7 years, to thinking. Now you're learning about thinking. And as you're thinking, you're getting more farther away from the B-field state. And then, you know, puberty hits, and then we're going from thinking to doing a lot. And so we're getting even farther away from feeling and feeling, you know, our original essence. And hormones kick in physically. So, and I forgot to say that when we're a baby, you know, we begin to, that's when we get programmed that we are a body. Because, you know, there's poop in your diaper, and so there you can be cold, and these physical sensations really kind of have an impact on the energy body until at some point, and we are hungry, and so all of these physical sensations kind of contribute to us beginning to believe that we really are a body. So now we're really separate. We're this individual, separate body, and we're weak and we're powerless and we're helpful. And so then in teenage years, the, quote, hormones kick in, and now it becomes about dating and who can I get to love me? Am I pretty enough? Am I smart enough? And am I cool enough to fit in with the, quote, cool crowd? Am I intelligent enough to be able to make my way into the world? What kind of job am I going to get? It becomes about doing, and it becomes about the physical and going out into the world. And so by the time we're pretty much, you know, adults or young adults, we're physically transfixed. We're physically transfixed in this world, and the world is real. We are these bodies. We must survive, and we, through our identities, we just we have. Incidentally, we also have positive identities that we also take on. So we basically then become a mix of positive and negative identities. And we begin to live our lives based on how we actually, the meanings we make from these identities. I'm not smart enough, so that means I'm going to really have a hard time making my way into the world and earning a living, and that means I'm not really going to be happy. Oh, no. Oh, and then the feeling of that, then the negative feeling of that begins to we experience that. And then we try to adopt ways of coping with that. So our whole lives becomes about which identities we're actually taking on. So teenage years, hormones, dating, peer pressure, and how am I going to physically survive? And then we become really, that then becomes our major focus. And then we're just playing in the world with these mix of identities, and we do that for as long as we choose to and like to. And then at some point, usually some physical thing happens that gets our attention, and we may or may not, but usually at some point when we're done playing in this created reality in the way that we have, in the way of being asleep to who we really are, then at some point something happens that is a catalyst that begins to awaken within us. The part of ourselves that really did create this human part then begins to send us messages and signals when we're ready to awaken. And then we begin the process of undoing this to expand back into our one, to the one. And the last thing I will say about this is that we really cannot not be God. So all the things that we do to convince ourselves that we're the opposite is really the equivalent of creating like a big energy mass or that blocks out our perception of who we are. You could say it's like a metaphor would be. It's like a cloud cover to the sun. So the clouds seemingly block out the light of the sun. The sun has not gone. The sun is still there. But our experiences is not having the sun. The clouds block out the sun. So all of these programs and conditionings and beliefs and these negative identities, really the purpose they serve, which is the point of all this, is to block out, who we really are. So it's not about trying to find God or anything. God is always there. Who we are is always there. The all that is always there. It really becomes a process of undoing, removing the cloud cover, undoing, dissolving these identities and these patterns. And that's how we actually expand back into the one. Okay, so that is my talk today. And in a couple of weeks, I'm going to, as part of the topic session, I'm going to have a question and answer period. So if all of you who are listening or those who are listening later, if you have some questions about any of the topics that I've discussed so far, have them ready. And I will announce that a week before the date of that. So that's my talk on how we counter-create our essence to become a human being. And now I'm going to go into the cards, give you some information about the card. Now, this system, like I said, is it's said to have originated in Atlantis, but its actual documented origins are rooted in Egypt in a secret esoteric school known as the Order of the Magi. So it's been around for a while, but it hasn't really been known to man for a while. It was really kept secret by this Order of the Magi, and you know, its secrets preserved, and it was supposed to be sort of revealed when mankind would be ready for it, and when mankind could really appreciate this system and appreciate what it could be used for. And it's probably been in the last 10 years that it's become more widely known, but still a lot of people don't know about it. And probably if you ask someone if they know about it, most people would not know about it. And so that's one of the reasons why I am revealing this information and talking about this, because it's something that I think is a really beautiful tool. Of course, it's not for everyone, but it's been something that's been really helpful to me, helpful in helping me make choices and the timing of things, and helpful in helping in me understanding myself. And in my understanding myself, I've been able to really then honor and own who I am and the gifts that I came in with and even the challenges. And it's helped me to just move forward in a more grounded way than I had been able to before I discovered this system. So what is the system? Well, it's really a symbolic representation of our Earth's calendars. The 52 cards in the deck correspond to the 52 weeks in our year. The four suits correspond to the four seasons. And the 13 cards in each suit correspond to the 13 lunar cycles in each year. And when you add the numeric value of all the 52 cards plus the Joker, it totals 365 and a quarter, which is the number of days in each year. So you can see by that it represents our Earth system and our Earth calendar. Now, if you went to another system or planet, there would be another system that would represent that particular planet. But for our Earth calendar, this is the system that corresponds to that. And so how you say, well, a deck of cards, well, what does that have to do with anything? The way it works is that every day of our year is governed by one of the 52 cards, and any person born on that day will inherit certain characteristics that's associated with that number of that card and associated with the suit and other factors of that card. You could say the energy of the card actually represents personality archetypes, and they're symbols for our soul's expressions. So I like to say they represent karmic packages that we're born under. And you have 53, including the Joker, karmic packages. Actually, you have more than that because you have more than one card. The day you were born, the card that represents that governs the day you were born is actually called your birth card. But in addition to the birth card, most people, except for Leos, people who are born under the sign of Leo, their birth card would be the same as their planetary ruling card. So you could say they have a double sort of energetic energy of their birth card. So they would be sort of extreme examples of their birth, of that energy of that card. But most people have a second card. And some, actually Scorpios have two ruling cards. But for everyone else, they have a second card. And it's called the planetary ruling card. And this planetary ruling card is really, it's always a card that's in the life path of the birth card. And it's the card that actually is the way that the person really expresses themselves. It would be, if you know anything about astrology, it would be the equivalent of your ascendant. So it's really the way in which that person really expresses their birth card. And actually, some people relate more to their ruling planetary ruling card than they do their birth card. So we really basically have two cards, and when we really understand the meanings of these cards and the sort of strengths and weaknesses of those cards, we really can begin to understand. Really, what I found is that people actually know these things about themselves. It just confirms what they know, and it sort of gives them permission to then just be that. And I found that there's a lot of freedom in that, and it's really, really wonderful. And it gives them, you know, a level of self-understanding that is really profound. So it's really, the system helps you basically understand and own who you are. And then even beyond that, the system, through what's a complex mathematical science, and through what's called quadration, and it's the system also has a record record for each year of your life, and these records are really called spreads. It's like the cards are laid out in a certain way for each of the 52 cards for each year of that person's life. And there's a certain set of cards and for each year. And so you can actually look at the energies that are present through those cards for each year, and it gives you a lot of information about, you know, how you will be supported, that energies that can support you, challenges you may have. But in all of this, it's as if, you know, I was talking about our timeless eternal self. It's as if I look at it as if this part of ourselves, the bigger part of ourselves, has given us this gift and clues that help us navigate this earth plane. So, yes, we are in this created reality, and it's really a temporary situation. But while we're here, as we're having these experiences and as we're expanding back into who we really are, it's as if the bigger part of ourselves has given us a gift to help us navigate the waters. And we can choose to open to this gift and to learn how to use it to sort of to make decisions that are beneficial to us, that help us on our way. We don't always have to learn and in pain. We can actually begin to expand back in a joyful way. And I like to say that, you know, aligning with the energies of the cards always leads to success, okay? So that's going to be the information about the card system for today. And I should say that today is, I should just talk about the day a little bit. Today is July 6th. And so anyone born today would be a nine of diamonds and a jack of clubs. Okay? And today is a Cancer day. So someone today would be really very sensitive because nines have to give. Nines are here to give. Nines are about completion. And nines are here to give universally. And invariably with every nine energy, first of all, nines really represent Neptune. So you got a Cancer person and Neptune, which is really, they're both sensitive. And so you have someone who is sensitive who is here to really give. But with nines, there's usually always a conflict between their own needs and the needs of others because so much of the nine energy is about giving and letting go and completions. And you can imagine that can be kind of difficult sometimes when there's a question of, well, what about me and my own personal needs? And it seems like I'm always giving and giving to others, and no one gives to me. That's usually a conflict that all nines have. But a nine of diamonds would be someone who has to give value in some kind of way, and they may experience financial losses and things that they really value. A Jack of Clubs ruling card would make them have a really sharp mind. Jack of Clubs is very resourceful, very creative, and they're a member of the royal family. And as I said, they have a powerful mind and a powerful memory, and some even have photographic memories. But this card is really mentally fixed, and so that could be sort of a challenge to be mentally fixed and also be a nine, where you actually have to be able to let go. And because they have such a high mind, they do well in any detail oriented work or any work where it requires a lot of high intelligence. Okay, so Jacks can also too, because they have such a great memory, they can also they have to watch the tendency maybe to exaggerate or to not be honest, because it would be hard to catch them in the lie because their memory is so great. So that's something about someone potentially who would be born today. That's sort of some potential qualities and traits that they would have. Okay, so I am going to unmute the line and see if there's anyone on the line who would like a reading. And so as I mute the line, I keep the conference muted to keep a clear line. So as I unmute the conference, to mute yourself, just press 4-star. So when I unmute, everybody will be unmuted. If you know you're not going to speak, in order to keep a clear line, just press 4-star. And you just keep pressing 4-star to toggle back and forth between the two. Okay? Okay, so I'm unmuting. Okay, so is there anyone who would like a reading today?
Yeah, this is Rubina. I would like one.
Hi, Rubina. Okay, let me just see if there's anybody else on the call who would like a reading, and that way I can tell how much time to devote. Is there anyone else on the call who would like a reading? Okay, so, all right, so I can spend quite a bit of time with you then. Okay, so the way I do this is I just use your birthday. So what's your birthday, Rubina?
It's January the 27th, 1967.
So that would make you, so I don't have to do the math in my head, how old would that make you?
I am 43.
Okay. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I said 43 and a half.
Okay. Okay, that's cute. All right, so you are a
Aquarian.
You are an Aquarian, and in the card system, this would make you a King of Clubs birth card with a Six of Clubs ruling card. So, wow, you are a double club, and you are an Aquarian, so thinking is huge for you. The suit of clubs represents anything that to do with our mentality, with communication, with learning, processing information, spreading information, And so you have a king of clubs and a six of clubs. And so that would mean that that would really be strong for you. And also, too, Aquarius is a very it's an air sign, so it's very mental as well. So you're probably brilliant mentally because the king of clubs is the highest suit, I mean the highest in the suit, and so that would make you a leader of information. So you would be one who would really need to be in a leadership position, okay, in some way. And a leadership position in actually delivering ideas to others in a big way. Mm-hmm. Your Six of Clubs is a very intuitive card. Six of Clubs is a missionary card. You could say, some say it's the John the Baptist card. It's about leading people to the truth. So leading people to information and leading people to the truth is very, very big for you. And how have you experienced this?
I definitely, as you know, I mean, I love to learn, so I can see that for myself for sure. And inside of what I do for a living, you know, I teach. I mean, that's definitely inside of being in a position to deliver others, leading people to the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, you know, with my students, like, you know, leading them to act out there in the real world when they get out there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, but I can definitely, you know, see I'm very mental.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, you are definitely a born leader and a born teacher. And you definitely will find yourself leading other people. And also with the King of Clubs, you're really honest and you live by the truth. And you also are very you make good partners, good husbands and wives, you know. And sometimes your choice of mates until you kind of work this through can be problematic for you. But once you really work through that, you really, really make an excellent wife and an excellent husband. You're good marriage material. Have you sensed that about yourself?
In my last relationship, I did have that experience.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. And you also too have this ability to accurately assess a situation. You know, you can look at something and see something and really actually assess it. And there may be times you don't even know how you know that, but that's you do have that quality as well. And so with your Six of Clubs, as I said, it's really a missionary card, and it's really for you to and many spiritual leaders are Six of Clubs, okay? And so six is also the number of karma and the number of fate. And Six of Clubs, so clubs being the mental, this is a place where you would actually, you do have the natural ability to be tapped into your inner voice. You may not listen to it all the time, but you do, Six of Clubs do have a gift of being able to access their intuition. And so you really, part of what you need to do, you came here to do was to really listen to your inner voice, because six is also the number of fate and destiny. And when you listen to yourself, it really can lead you to what you're destined to do in this lifetime, okay? So you are destined for something big. It's like Six of Clubs is one of the only cards that really, they really do have a specific destiny, but you really have to listen to the enlightened side of yourself and your mind to really access this, whatever this destiny is. And your biggest challenge is with yourself, because you can be your own worst critic, okay? And sixes are naturally competitive, and usually they usually kind of win every conflict they're in, because your Six of Clubs, actually, you have a very fortunate life path. Some say it's the most fortunate card in the deck.
Mm.
You may not know that, but your life path is very fortunate, and it's because of where it sits in the spread. And for three of your cards in your life path sit in the crown line. And you have the Ten of Clubs in Mars, which actually again, is a teacher card, but it's in Mars, so that would make you really be a great teacher. And I know you do teach, and that makes you a great teacher. And you have the Eight of Diamonds, which is the Sun card, which sits right at the smack top of the deck, which is the Jupiter card, okay? So, and then you have the King of Spades, which is the most powerful card on the mundane level in the deck. So you've got these three cards in your life path that are sitting in the crown line. So you have a lot of power, and you could have a lot of recognition and fame, but those cards, the Ten of Clubs, the Eight of Diamonds, the King of Spades, are power cards, okay? So I'd say for you, for Six of Clubs, just to know this would be helpful and to just give yourself permission to shine because you were born to shine. And you have a fantastic mind with the King of Clubs and with the Six of Clubs, with their intuitive ability, and then with this Ten of Clubs and Mars. And this King of Spades and Saturn means that you have the power to overcome any kind of challenge, okay? So that's some information about what you chose to be born into and what challenges you have and really just not being so critical of yourself. And your gifts of teaching and being a leader and your brilliant mind and your intuitive ability and your ability to overcome, the power to overcome any kind of challenge, okay? All right, so I can now look in your spreads for this year and see if I can give you any insight on a question you might have. So is there a question that you have? Is what's going on with you and what would you like some sort of information and guidance about?
Well, the two things that I'm taking on, like for this summer, is I'm just having some, like I've been procrastinating doing my schoolwork, you know, doing my writing for my PhD,
mm-hmm.
And then of course, you know, as we both know, you know, just my beloved, like, you know, I'm just completely, like, I definitely can be with the critical, you know, like I'm just so critical, like, oh my God, I'll never find marriage or I'm never doing enough. Like, I don't feel like I give enough out there. Like, I never contribute enough. So I haven't been satisfied lately. So I know I'm, like, just kind of jabbering off, but that's where I'm at. Like, I'm not satisfied. I'm not, feel like I'm not doing enough, feeling like I'm not going to accomplish my mission. Or my biggest thing is being afraid that I'm going to die not having either made a mark or, you know, gotten married.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'm going to look at your cards here. So you had a birthday a few months ago. So hold on a second while I pull up your cards here. And I'm going to see what I see in terms of the energies that are present. Because what I've sort of discovered with this system is to really harmonize myself with the energies that are present and to not fight against what's happening, but to kind of really find a way to harmonize with it, and then things kind of can unfold more smoothly because I'm not actually putting energy in fighting what's so, if you can understand what I'm saying. So just keep that in mind as I kind of give you this information, okay? That's really why I'm giving you this information, is so for you to find a way to kind of harmonize yourself with what is present, okay? All right, so right now you are in you actually just entered your Jupiter period. Wait, let me see if that's right. On July 2nd. Okay, and July 2nd, and our Jupiter period is the period where we can actually make the most money and where whatever energies are present in our Jupiter period really show us how we can make money for the year and what blessings and benefits we will have for the year, okay? So you just went into that period, and so that means you were in Mars, and Mars can be sort of a challenging period, but let me, I'm looking at your cards right now, and you're 43, and one of the first things I see is that your long-range card, which is the most important card for the year. It's where our focus is. We won't know whether or not it is going to be necessarily positive or negative, but it's really what our focus is. And you have a seven of diamonds as your long-range card. And seven, there are two spiritual numbers, the seven and the nine. So the seven, though, represents, and seven's actually, it's the, of the 13 cards, seven sits right smack dab in the middle. And so usually sevens have a one foot in the mundane world, one, you know, the physical world, and one foot in the spiritual world. Now, the trick with sevens, the thing to do with sevens is you always need to go to the spiritual side. That means one has to develop appreciation and gratitude for what they have and what is already present. It's like sevens represent material challenges, and with the seven, there's always a solution, but the solution is always a spiritual solution. With nines, really, you just have to let go. There's something coming to an end, and you just have to let it go. But with the seven, so you're experiencing some challenge. So maybe you're experiencing some challenge, and well, maybe your beloved's not here. So in order to come up with the solution to how you're feeling about that, you're going to have to, it's like if you go to the spiritual and look at what's deep, more deeply true, and go to what you do have and the love that you do have and where love really does come from, you will be able to surmount this sort of challenge. And in that, it actually opens you up for more love to come to you in various ways and through various people, and actually begins to make you more attractive for your beloved to find you. Did that make any sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then what I also see, Rubina, is that you have an Ace of Hearts Pluto. And an Ace of Hearts it can mean new love. It could also be a baby, like, you know, wanting to have a baby or just some new life, something new to love. But really what I think as I'm seeing this for you is that this is about you self-love. It's about loving yourself in a new way, if you can understand what I mean. And Pluto position for this year is always the challenge that we have to overcome for the year. So there's a challenging position, there's a place where you could feel lonely. It's like being alone. Ace is one, the number one, I'm alone. So it's really you're being challenged to deal with your loneliness and challenged to find a way, probably through going to the spiritual side, of loving yourself in a way that you get filled up with love by something that's eternal, by source, okay? Because the truth really is, and I know this is really hard to really get, is that we cannot really even receive love from any another person. And really, when another person is in our life, it seems as if that is coming from them, but really it's reflecting to us our love for ourselves and the love that's within us and the love that is within life itself. But we get so used to thinking that it's the thing outside of us that is creating or causing this moment, these experiences of pleasure and joy. So I'm seeing that this challenge for you is really coming to some kind of knowing of this for yourself, such that you can begin to tap into into universal love. Whenever you feel yourself kind of forgetting about really where love comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And as you do this, I'm seeing your result is going to be a four space, which is security and protection in work and home and in health. So by you taking this year to really learn to love yourself in that way I just described, it's really going to have a positive effect in your work and on your home life and just in your ability to feel secure and protected in life, okay? So, you know, and that's just in your King of Clubs spread, but also, too, I want to mention and you have a Ten of Diamonds and an Eight of Spades in Jupiter in your King of Clubs. Ten of Diamonds is in Jupiter means that this is a period, or this year, you could potentially make a lot of money. I don't know what you got going on, But if you, you know, I don't know if you have your own business, but like these, but this kind of thing pretends well for people who have ways of actually generating income or making money. And Eight of Spades is really power through the ability to focus, power to focus on work. And so, and you're also displacing your own, your planetary ruling card this year. So remember I said the Six of Clubs has intuitive abilities? So, and you have a Six of Spades environment and a Six of Clubs displacement. So that's your planetary ruling card. So that, you really have to really tune into that Six of Clubs part of you, which is your intuitive abilities and your ability to see that you are one of the most blessed people on the planet. Okay, finding that and really getting to know yourself and to tune into what you came here to do. I'm afraid that this is what you're really to be focused on this year. So, and you also have this Six of Spades environment. So, again, it's fate and it's karma. So it's really you tuning into and discovering what your destiny is for yourself. I mean, maybe you already know it, and if you already know it, it's about really putting one foot in front of the other and really living that then. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so how does that feel so far?
I mean, it's definitely right on target. I mean, I am struggling with, like, you know, what is my destiny? I mean, even though I know, but then there's still, like I feel like there's a bigger picture, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
There's got to be more. And maybe this is it, like maybe what I'm doing and, you know, like just being with that. And I definitely, you know, I am in that place of, you know, appreciation and gratitude, but now, you know, I'm just hearing to be able to, you know, like just a confirmation of to be moving more towards that. And, of course, you know, self-love, like that's what I've been struggling with for so long.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's really that, you know, dealing with that self-love. So everything that you've said is just exactly where I'm at. Like I'm feeling very lonely, not knowing where I'm going. And you know, at the end of telling one of my friends this morning, like, and I have a great life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Have
yes.
A very blessed life.
Yeah, so it's really tapping into that appreciation and really being able to really feel that. It's like one thing to say, but you have to really feel that. And I'm just going to go some more because I'm looking in your seven-year cycle in your King of Clubs, and you have a King of Hearts result. So in King of Hearts for a woman is their ideal level. So at the end of this, so you're in the second year of the seven-year cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So by the end of the 7 years, you definitely will be with your beloved. So he's coming.
Oh, great. What, I have to wait 5 more years?
Well, I see you have a Three of Hearts environment in the environment. So that means that it's really a good idea for you to meet different people and to experiment and explore what you want in relationships. I mean, maybe there's a way in which you think you might know, but maybe there's still some kind of exploring you need to do about different types of people. I'm not really, you know, completely sure, but that's what it says that you would benefit. And this could just be meeting people in terms of new people in terms of work. Now, you also have two sixes in this 7 year. So this is definitely a cycle, a year. I'd say by the end of this or the next, you know, 5 years or so, you're going to come into what you were meant to do. You have a Six of Spades long range and a Six of Clubs, your PR card again. So I would really begin to develop your intuition and really ask, what is it that I'm to do? What is my destiny? You're a Six of Clubs. You're destined for something, okay? And maybe since this Six of Clubs is linked with this King of Hearts, maybe it's as you find your destiny, as you're living your destiny, you'll meet your beloved through that. But it seems as if this needs to happen first. This really discovering your destiny and really taking steps in that direction and doing that, and that somewhere along that road, as you're doing that, you'll be meeting your beloved. And you also have this Ace of Spades displacement. So I would not be surprised that by the end of the 7 years you have a completely different life, because the Ace of Spades is really about death and rebirth. It's total transformation.
Mm-hmm.
So it this kind of points to, so I would be paying attention to, you know, a major change that might be coming up, you know, in the next few years, really, okay? because that's really strong. And now, just take a quick look in your PR spread. You got a King of Diamonds long range. That's owning your own business. What have you been doing? There's something. So for this year, it's something about, you know, having your own business. And
it's funny that you say that, because like we just sold our we had a family business. We just sold that, and I picked up, you know, I coach, and so I actually just picked up a client, one of my just somebody I know, one of my associates from the past called me and said, look, you know, I want to hire you as my coach. And I don't really do a lot to get people, and it was just really interesting. And then now I'm really like, wow, you know, I need to really take this on and get serious about it and actually take it on, you know, like really do more of this.
Mm-hmm.
And then I met with a mentor of mine who, you know, who's a master coach, and he's like, you know, you're so ripe for this. You're so good. Like some of the skills that you said I had, like I'm very intuitive and I know what to say and I'm really straight and truthful and to people. And so I've actually been looking at like really taking that on seriously. So that's what that's the only thing that I have brewing.
Okay, so really, so this is the stuff you need to pay attention to. So your own business this year, that's really what you need to, that's a focus. That's a major focus for this year, okay? And you have an Ace of Diamonds displacement. That means new ways of making money. So whatever you were doing, and again, that Ace of Spades, I said before, you're in for changing the way that you have been showing up and the ways you've been making money, and it's time for you to actually create your own business, okay? And it's about giving away information because you've got this Queen of Clubs. And the Queen of Clubs is the most intuitive card in the deck. It's a female. It's a nurturer, and she knows what she, you know, she can tune into the field and get information. And you're displacing your own birth card. So you being a king, royalty, and a queen, and stepping up and taking your due and being in the spotlight. Now, the thing with kings is that you have to be willing to be the king, okay? That means taking on a level of responsibility and making decisions that maybe everybody may not like. But in order to access the energies of the king, you have to be willing to step into it. So maybe that's also, too, you know, something that's up for you. Because you've got a lot of royal, you know, your focus is the King of Diamonds. You are a King of Clubs yourself, and your environment is the King of Clubs. So you being the king, being a leader, being a teacher will be a blessing and a benefit to you this year. And anything new, pay attention to doing anything new this year and a new way of making money as to how you're going to create this business. That's what is up for you this year. And just to say, in your 7-year cycle in this card, you got a Six of Hearts result. That means a faded relationship. So you're going to have your beloved. I don't know what year it's going to happen in this next 5.5 years, but that he is coming. And because Six of Hearts means someone you were fated to be with. And you're also displacing the King of Hearts. So, yes, that means, you know, you actually learning how to actually become the king in yourself in terms of your ability to the King of Hearts is the master of relating and the master of relationships. So I would just be doing everything I can to love myself, to know where true love really comes from, to be embodying that, and to be mastering my relationship skills, and to be tuning into what my intuitively what my destiny is, working towards that, putting one foot in front of the other, listening to the new way that I'm to actually make money and how to create and what ways and am I going to be offering service to others to in my own business. That's what I would be putting my energies towards, because that's what the energies that are present, and when you actually, like I said, harmonize yourself with it, it's as if they actually give you a boost and they support you and actually allowing these things to unfold. So that's, I think we're coming to the end. But
you were talking about a new way to make money. I just realized that one thing is, like, I'm actually working with my brother to support him. He's got a law firm.
Uh-huh.
Support him on doing some business development. So if I, like, I mean, I could pick up an account for him here and there, and, like, that would be a huge amount of money for him. And, of course, I'd get something out of it.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, good. Yeah, but make sure that you're being paid, and make sure that, you know, it's of a business nature, because the Eight of Diamonds is always looking for new enterprises and ways to make money, and the King of Diamonds is the person who runs their own business. So yeah, so you, it sounds like you would be doing some coaching and some consulting work, and so just be on the lookout for, you know, whatever a deeper destiny you have, that it may or may not involve these things, or it just may be an expansion of these things. But you kind of stepping into your role of leadership, being a teacher. I mean, you know, you could be a teacher who writes a book, who is making money from her books or making money from classes. I mean, they're all, you know, sorts of ways that this could play out. But it's really you tuning into the information that is destined for you, that will lead you to your specific, the specific way in which you're going to be a leader in the world.
That's great.
Okay, any other questions? I think we're kind of coming to the end, but.
No, I just, you know, of course what comes up, oh, my God, but I want my beloved now. And then, you know, it's just that impatience. It's like, I want it now, and I don't want to, you know. So that's the only thing that's there for me. And, that, and then, you know, sometimes I just really don't feel like I get, you know, rewarded for the stuff that I do. So I guess that's just more of my critical being.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Maybe you can call in again. And I can
talk
about that again. I could, kind of maybe go over that. But I can say about the beloved situation that it's really a gift that this is coming up before your beloved is actually here, because it gives you the opportunity to really get right about this whole idea about love and beloved and where love really comes from. And it'd be a lot easier to do it, now actually before he shows up. And someone may show up for you to practice on again. But I understand that feeling. I know I've had it before. I've seen it time and time again. And I just want to stress, given that you have this seven, is that really going into the to tap into the source of infinite love, infinite eternal love that's not dependent on anything or anyone.
Great.
Okay? Because the truth is, even when the beloved shows up, you know, they're going to be a human being just like you, who's got their own little masses of identities and things they're working on. You know what I mean? You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And they're not going to be the source. And invariably, you know, to the extent that we don't know that, these relationships will reflect that to us.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to, so it's work to be done no matter what.
Yep. Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you so much. This is so perfect. It was God sent for me to be on this call today.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you were on the call, and I'm so glad that I got to work with you and give you a reading. It's been my pure pleasure and a blessing to me, and I so appreciate you. And so with that, I am going to say goodbye and end the call, and I want to thank everyone who's been on the call and any of those who have been listening who have benefited from it, and I consider this great opportunity for me to give to the world and to express my gifts and talents. So I appreciate everyone. And if anyone wants to, I do yearly readings, yearly cardiology readings, and if anyone wants to know about that, they can go to my website and just click on the button at the top of the menu that says cardology, and it'll give you some detail about what goes into a reading and the cost and everything. So I look forward to next week and being with you next week. And again, thank you all for being there so that I could have someone to express myself to. Have a wonderful day, everyone. Okay, this is Clarissa Bell signing off. Goodbye.
Bye. Love you.
Bye. Love you, too.